Good morning, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Tuesday. We are a couple days away from the NFL draft. You'll see right here on the YouTube channel, you'll notice a new video where we pump up our Cheesehead TV draft party. I hope you guys will join us all 3 days. We'll be live all seven rounds. It gets a little out of hand by day three, but it's always a good time. I hope you will join us. Patreon members, the information to join the Zoom chat will be on the Patreon page Thursday afternoon. Hope to see you all there. The draft, it's almost here. Hello to everybody in the comment section. Already got a lot of people asking about the Waller stuff, so I'll just dive right into it. Clearly, this is something that has been percolating for a while. As I said in the post yesterday on Cheesehead TV, Waller was the player that the Packers were trying to pry away from the Raiders. And it's interesting to me that so many people I've spoken to, both kind of who cover the league and have covered the league for a long time, but even in the league, weren't aware of the rule that states you can't utilize a player in the compensation to get a player who is on an unsigned franchise tag. And that is the key here. I didn't even realize this, you know, as I was typing it up or whatever, but because Devontae refused to sign the tag, he was an unsigned tag player. And this is a new rule, apparently inserted in the update to the CBA, I believe in early 2020, when they were redoing COVID stuff, you know, around trying to expand the practice squads, whatever. But apparently this language was added, stating that you couldn't, you know, send a player. And the Raiders were ready to give Waller to the Packers in this trade for Devontae. Obviously, the league stepped in and crushed that. And the Packers have been biding their time. I believe they are still ready to pull the trigger. I think it all comes down to the Raiders. I believe Waller wants a new deal. He is ready to enter the last 2 years of his existing deal that features absolutely no more guaranteed money. I'd be very surprised if he steps on the football field either for the Raiders or the Packers in 2022 without some kind of new guarantees in a contract extension. I'll just jump right in. You guys got a lot of questions here. Cameron starts us off with a super chat. Thank you, buddy. If the original 17 deal was 22 Waller and changed to 22 and 53, what's stopping Green Bay Vegas from just swapping Waller for 53 that they originally gave up? As near as I can tell, and I have been asked this a lot in the last kind of 12 hours or so, nothing. I don't believe there's any rule against it. I don't think the league could stop it. I do think part of the kind of wait and see here is about the contract. And possibly the Raiders trying to get something done, or Waller just, you know, steadfast refusing to deal with anybody until some kind of deal gets hammered out. I don't know about it on Waller's end. That's completely a mystery to me. But as near as I can tell, as far as the compensation goes, could the Packers do that? Just send them back their pick? Yes, I believe they could. Now, are they automatically going to give up a second round pick? I don't know. Maybe that's the quibble. Maybe the Packers are trying to get a, you know, offer a third or maybe even a fourth. If we know Brian, he's going to start low, right? But yeah, I don't believe anything could stop them from doing it. I don't think there's a rule against it, as near as I can tell. But again, I didn't know about this rule, and most people didn't until this all went down with the Devontae trade. So we'll find out. Jeff, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. I'm busy sandbagging my house to handle the internet explosion when the Packers take offensive line and defensive line with the first two picks. It could happen. I don't think it will. But you certainly can't dismiss the possibility. I would not be surprised whatsoever if we came out a Thursday night and they had fortified both lines and not touched wide receiver or any skill position in the first round. I know you are correct. The internet would melt down on the Packers end, but it's entirely possible. No question about it. Corey, thank you so much for the super sticker. Very much appreciated. Thank you. John, what's up, man? Can we verify if the guy who commented big talker is actually Florio? No, I just saw him. He's here. Mark, what's his name? Mark Mendez. He's here. What's up, Mark? Big talker. At it again. What are you going to do? Let me see. What about Carr's comment last night? LOL, no chance. I believe Derek probably believes that, but I know for a fact that the Raiders were ready to give him to the Packers in the trade for Devontae. So is there a chance that the deal doesn't happen? Of course. But there's also a very good chance that it does. But, you know, Derek's, you know, he loves his guy. I get that. I got no issue with Derek Carr. I really like Derek. But, I mean, you look at this from the Raiders' end. They just extended Derek. They just handed the bag to Devontae. you can't pay everybody. And if Waller wants a new deal, you know, they might be hard pressed to get that done. So I got no ill will toward Derek. He loves his guy. I get that, man. Totally get it. No problems here. But to say that there's no chance, that's a stretch. You're not that big, Nags. I know. I've been running. Oh, you mean like news-wise? Yeah, you're not right. I mean, you're not wrong. Blake, do we go multiple tight ends like the Pats used to if we get Waller? I hope so, man. I've been hoping for that for a long time. As far as like a true kind of two tight end approach, really utilizing that position as a weapon. Now, obviously, to do that, I think a big part of it would be Tonyan coming back healthy. I believe it's Bill Huber had reported that the expectation is that Tonyan will be ready to go for training camp, or maybe beginning of the season, hopefully. But that's no guarantee, obviously. We'll see what happens here as we go through the offseason. But I would absolutely adore that approach. I think the Packers could really unlock something with Matt's offense if they featured the tight ends a little bit more. There's no doubt that they would have the talent with Waller and Tonyan and Big Dog, and a couple of the other young guys. Look, I'm not going to pretend like, you know, Waller isn't coming off a year where he had a number of injuries, you know, wasn't quite as productive as he was back in 2020. But that Pro Bowl year, which is what that was, man, he was unstoppable. And you put him in Matt's offense with Aaron Rodgers throwing him the ball, they will be a problem for defenses. And I think that's obviously why Brian is interested. But yeah, I would love it if they went to two tight end stuff. TKM at your post. What's up, buddy? Draft OTA is going to be a long summer. Add to the fact that you are not attending shareholder meeting or first week of camp. We shall miss each other again, but I will have Kroll's Butterburger for you. Oh, Kroll's Butterburger. God, that sounds good. Man, yeah, have two for me. I love it. Historically, haven't the Packers been great at finding linemen in the second, third, and fourth rounds? They have, Mark, absolutely. But that would not preclude them from selecting an offensive lineman in the first round if it is by far and away the best player on their board, if the draft falls a certain way. Have they been successful on day three? No question. And finding guys that they can convert, usually from tackle to guard, but not always. Obviously, Bakhtiari is a prime example of a guy they found in the fourth round. He went on to become a multiple All-Pro. Certainly, that history is there, is certainly part of it. But again, especially with the thinness currently at the right tackle position, if there's a guy there that is leaps and bounds high and away their highest graded player available to them, say at 28, I would not be surprised to see them make that pick at all. Uncultured Barbarian, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Cheesehead TV draft party is fun. Between the patrons and Banky talking about weird stuff on day three, it's must-see TV, especially when Banky loses his mind when they draft a punter on day three. Pappies. Well, thank goodness they signed a punter in free agency, so hopefully there will be no drafting of a punter. Although you can't really rule it out, can you? Is here, even though you're talking about Kroll's being overrated. You're the youth. They don't know what they're talking about. You know, it's all right. It's okay. Don't forget to add in a DeGuara wheel route. Daniel, now you're talking. You are talking. What else? Good morning, Mr. Nagel. What's up, Axel? How are you? Yosh. What's up? What's going on, Cheddarhead? What are the percent chances we actually get Waller? Oh, man, I don't know. Use your magic eight ball. I know they're talking about it. Chances it actually happens? I have no idea. I'll say 57% chance it happens. There, how's that? 57 towards it happening. So just a little bit over 50-50. How's that? I don't know, man. I ain't on the phone with them. TKM, what's up, man? Let's keep in mind that draft and develop means this draft year is about 2 to 3 years from now. Hope you are happy then. Are we okay with the last two? Essentially, yeah, man. I love A.J. Dillon. I love Elgton Jenkins. I love Myers last year. I love Stokes. So, yeah, I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right. What else we got? Nuclear Family, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. What is your process for breaking a story? Are you concerned with people within the team making stuff up close to the draft? I hear that's common. Yeah, you know, it's funny because you guys know I've been talking about how you should ignore everything for the past month. But once I heard the first part of it, and then I called some people and I did a little digging and I heard something that reinforced it. And then I reached out to a second source. And that was the key, is making sure that I wasn't just talking to one side of this thing. And it was pretty solid, especially the part about, you know, that they had offered Waller in the trade for Devontae. That's lock solid. So, yeah, I was like, okay, I feel pretty good about it. But, you know, could you be especially this time of year, is it possible you're getting burned? Yeah, of course. That's why I rarely do this shit. You guys know I don't do a ton of breaking news shit. But yeah, I feel confident. I'm pretty solid on this one. I'm going to sleep okay, even if the trade doesn't happen. I know they were talking about it. So, and that's what I put out there. What else? Do you think Waller would play out the last 2 years of his deal or demand a bank-breaking extension? I don't know about bank-breaking, but he'll definitely want a new deal. I don't think there's any question about that. Make sure you check out Wendell's piece on CheeseheadTV.com. He kind of laid out what a new deal for Waller would look like. It's available right there on the website. Cheddarhead, what's up, man? I loved your take on Heflin. He needs playing time. Thank you, man. Yeah, if you guys haven't checked out my video about three players who I suspect will take a significant jump in 2022 for the Green Bay Packers, and let's face it, that's where the real kind of improvement comes year to year, is young guys taking steps forward who are already on the roster. I believe Heflin can be one of them, and I really like his chances to contribute. I don't think he's going to be a superstar or anything. Don't get it twisted, but I do think he could be a contributor. And now that I've said that, he will undoubtedly get cut tomorrow. Tim, are you not streaming on Twitter anymore? You know what, Tim? I'm not. And I'll tell you why. Because I kept streaming it on Twitter, but I never get any comments on Twitter. And no one ever engages on Twitter. So I figured just drive people to Facebook or YouTube. It's that simple. Ryan, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Go Pack Go. Love you and the Cheesehead TV team. Do you know of any Packers to London game packages and tours? Any to recommend? Thanks, Snags. Ryan, I do not. Somebody in the comments, if you're privy, let Ryan know. I know I'm going. That's all I know. Corey and I will be there. But outside of that, I have no idea, Ryan. It's not really my wheelhouse. But hopefully someone in the comments can help you out there. Demcon, afternoon, Nags. Good morning. Good morning from New York City. I hope it's well wherever you are. Brandy, can the Packers use Love this year as a second quarterback on the field like other teams do? That's an interesting question, Brandy. That is actually something I asked Matt LaFleur about after Love got drafted. And at the time, he said, well, you know, it's too early, blah, blah, blah. But it certainly doesn't look like they've kind of had an inkling to do that. And I understand it. If you've got a now, you know, back-to-back MVP at quarterback, no, you want to dilute the product, so to speak. No, and I understand you're talking about putting a guy on the field with Aaron. So could they? Yeah, I think it's a possibility, but I doubt they go that route. I'd love to see it, though. That'd be fun. Who's my favorite wide receiver in the draft? What's up, Callum? Hope you're doing well across the pond. Sky Moore is my favorite wide receiver. I highly doubt he gets drafted by the Packers just due to his measurables, but I really love his game. I love his ability. I think he could be a problem anywhere in the formation, perimeter, in the slot, what have you. I think he's a dynamite player. 3 QB set. Oh, I love it. You mean no Taysom Hill role for Love? I am shocked. Yeah, Eric, like I said, I doubt it, but it'd be fun. I'm all for having some fun, man, for getting creative. Nothing wrong with that. I wish I could play basketball with Matt LaFleur. I wonder if Matt is still playing basketball in the offseason, given the Achilles tendon tear a couple years ago. But that would be fun. Brian, what's up, man? Nags, breaking news on Waller. Love to see it. Thanks for engaging, man. Just putting it out there. Brandy, I love Gary, but does a player developing for 2 years validate a first-round pick? I still do not know. Yes, 1,000%. It's about developing. And guess what? If he had not come into a defense where they had literally just signed two guys to be edge players, he would have played a lot more and probably have been a lot more productive. But the Packers is how they operate. You know, they're always looking ahead. Now that Z is out the door, Gary steps in a full-time role, and they're cooking with gas. I got no issues with that. Cheddarhead, what's up, man? Planning my UK vacation when the schedule is released. You coming, Nags? Would love to meet you there. Yeah, Cheddarhead, I'll be there, man. Corey and I both, and probably a couple other Cheesehead TV folks will be making the trip over there to old Blighty. Amy, thank you for the super chat. You bet. You are too generous, Amy. Thank you so much. Truffle Shuffle, thank you for the super sticker. Greatly appreciated. Thank you. Waller and a top rookie wide receiver would be nice. Preston, from your Facebook comment to the football god's ears, I am in on that. Ben, thank you for the super chat. Can't wait for the Packers to come to England so I can share some beers in a pub with Packers fans. Amen to that. I'm living that dream. Uncultured, thanks again, buddy. When the DIC blast the Packers picks, just remember, people, they don't know what a player is going to be until year three. Pass it on. I mean, look, I understand when the people who cover the draft for a living, they talk about, you know, the draft grades and all that stuff that I don't really engage in and don't really enjoy. But look, they are going off the information that they have in the moment. I just wish more of them would acknowledge that when a guy gets drafted, it is by no means a, you know, anywhere close to a finished product of who he's going to become in the NFL. So much of it is about where he lands, what team he's with, what scheme he's in, who his teammates are, who his coaches are, you know, all of that stuff matters in a big, big way. I mean, fit and where you end up is so instrumental more often than not than players becoming who they are. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is a good example. You know, given how he struggled early in Green Bay the first couple summers in training camp, his words, man, this is not me saying this. Aaron Rodgers has said this. Those first two summers were tough. You know, if he goes to San Francisco and is forced on the field right away, is he the same guy? Does he end up having the same career? I don't know, man. But I think, you know, where you land, the environment you're in is such a major part of it that kind of gets lost or dismissed by the draft industrial complex. And that's one of my big issues with it. Speaking of Gary, I think he and Savage both get their fifth-year options picked up. I think Gary's a no-brainer, if not, like, you know, an outright extension. Savage, I don't know. I think it's a 50-50 with Savage. I really do. I wouldn't be surprised either way, but I understand if they don't. Especially, it's interesting, Brian, of course, yesterday saying that they're going to wait until after the draft to make that determination. Perhaps part of it is, say, somebody, you know, is there available to them in the first round that they like a lot and they select a safety. Well, then they've got your ready-made replacement there. I mean, there's a lot of kind of moving parts there, I think, with Savage. But with Gary, I think it's a no-brainer. Didn't Baller? You mean Waller? Have a knee injury? Don't need another knee injury guy. All right, he's not a knee injury guy. He had a knee injury. Everybody in the league's had a knee injury at some point. But yes, he had a knee injury, he had a back issue. He was on the COVID list a little bit last year, which all adds up to him only playing 11 games. But you go back to 2020, that man was so dynamic and such a problem for defenses. And that's undoubtedly one of the things that the Packers are probably discussing amongst themselves as far as compensation and what they're willing to offer. He is an older player. He's going to, you know, hitting 30. I mean, he's not a spring chicken. So it's not without risk and, you know, the possibility that, you know, maybe Father Time shows up sooner rather than later, but he's such a dynamic talent. I definitely understand why they're looking at him. Cheddarhead, what's up, man? Calling it now. We're getting Drake Jackson from USC. Everybody, Cheddarhead is calling it now. You heard it here first, second, or third. I'm not quite sure how many times you've heard Drake Jackson from USC going to the Packers, but here you go. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. Can't thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video. Subscribe to the channel. So many people watching, so few subscribes. Come on, folks, hit subscribe. And then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great day. Go Pack, go.